Well, the British Medical Journal published a study calling for behavior interventions on you if you have what they call vaccine hesitancy. It's almost like a disease. Do you have vaccine hesitancy? Do you have questions about vaccines? What this implies is that you must accept that all vaccines are great and ask no questions. It's like they're just Twinkies in a box. They're all the same, right? Well, clearly they're not. All vaccines are for different things. We are allowed to ask questions about each one together and how they work together. But if you ask those questions, you are vaccine hesitant. Bill Gates is saying this too. It's really just the misinformation about this that causes vaccine hesitancy, not the data, right? So if you have questions like that, you need your behavior modified. Now, I want to show you something crazy about vaccines before we get to this whole behavior modification thing, because the medical establishment has never actually had to prove to us the efficacy of the vaccine schedule, how they exist together, what ages they should be taken. Those things have never been studied together. And they are arbitrarily assigned, like, oh, this one, let's give this to a 6-month-old. Let's give this one to a 2-week-old, right? Why you do it at certain ages, there's no data behind that. Never been studied. This is going to blow your mind, though, because you know the argument that you raise when you raise about any vaccine, people will say, well, you know, vaccines, they eradicated all manner of infectious diseases. Well, it turns out that 90% of infectious diseases were in decline before vaccines were introduced. This comes from this book that I can't speak highly enough about, Turtles All the Way Down. It has basically everything you know, you need to know about what we currently know about vaccines and what we do not. Now, look at this chart. I want to leave it up for a long time because I think it's so shocking that I want you to stare at it. And I apologize, it's not a great scan because it came from the actual book. I don't have it in a Kindle version.
And I'll just say, when you showed me this chart for the first time this summer, I was shocked. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah, okay. So this chart shows that infectious diseases began to decline precipitously around the mid-1920s, 1930s. They were all but eradicated when vaccines were first introduced in the 1950s. So why do we give vaccines credit for eradicating infectious diseases? Now, the diseases included in this chart are pneumonia, tuberculosis, typhoid, dysentery, syphilis, AIDS, which I'm not sure why that's there. Like, did we know about AIDS in the 1920s? But okay. Pertussis, diphtheria, and measles. Only the last three had childhood vaccines that were in use prior to 1970. Now, the notion that vaccines eradicated disease, the notion that these infectious diseases were in decline far before vaccines were introduced was originally published by Dr. Thomas McKeon. He began publishing his work in the 1960s, and even his most vocal critics were never able to disprove him. So they were ahead of their time. When you can't disprove the theory, you go after the dude, right? That's what they did. His major takeaway as to why most of these diseases dropped before vaccines was that most of them were bacterial and could be fixed by a few simple things like washing your hands, not living with animals on the street, because it turns out we're getting a lot of diseases from their poop. Not living with rats, and also the advent of antibiotics. This research was corroborated by married couple John and Sonia McKinley. He was a Boston University sociologist, and she was a Harvard mathematician. Their research corroborating this has still not been resolved. So why did infectious diseases decline so much before vaccines? Not only that, why did infant mortality decline before vaccines? Look at this chart. Infant mortality is declining. Now recall, mid-1950s is when vaccines were introduced. Why did they go so far down so much before then? Same story with pertussis, diphtheria, and measles. Look at this chart. In decline before the vaccine. So the point is not to say that the vaccines don't prevent infection or transmission or severe disease. Some vaccines do reduce infection rates and mortality. But can we blanketly say all vaccines work, right? When we know that the things that they're working against were already in such precipitous decline. It's an important question. And so, you know, we need to take it one vaccine at a time, one disease at a time. The medical establishment should prove it to us. We don't owe it to them to reprogram ourselves. That's nuts.
Kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, just the thing that popped into my head is kind of like, well, America rolling into World War One at the last second, right? So it's almost done.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Right.
And now we get to choose and reorder the world. And, oh, World War II? Here we are, D-Day.
Right.
We're here at the last minute, and we get to reorder the world. And I think it's fascinating because now it's on them to have to show us that what you actually did saved the world, right?
Right,
when
yeah.
in fact, it might
well,
not have at
well,
all.
Because the timeline doesn't work out for that argument when somebody says that. That's not to say that it's not a useful thing to do, but they should prove it to us. They absolutely should prove that. They also should prove that they're safe to take in this schedule, that they're safe to give to small babies, and they're safe to give together, which they have never done. So with that in mind, listen to Bill Gates saying we need to really fight misinformation about vaccines.
COVID has also changed our relationship to healthcare. What does that mean for vaccination hesitancy in developing countries and developed nations?
Well, the misinformation about vaccines and associating certain people like myself or Fauci having malign intent with vaccines, that was most acute in the United States. But the pandemic, which you would have thought, wow, global health research to talking about health, being ready for the next pandemic, you know, when you've got millions of deaths, isn't that, you know, it's sad, it's tragic, but isn't at least there a benefit that health is on the agenda? Sadly, it's a topic nobody wants to talk about because it was painful, you know, it's over, let's move on from that.
Okay, that was utter nonsense, but we had to hear him say it.
In front of a fake brick wall.
That, yeah, misinformation is what's, you know, associated to him and Fauci with the bad guys, but it's only just some crazies in America, not really everywhere. And at least we should be happy that we're talking about health, is what he says, which again is nonsensical. So let's turn our attention to the British Medical Journal talking about reprogramming us about vaccine hesitancy. Here's the study. You can seek it out for yourself. Not surprisingly, it calls for social media interventions to, you guessed it, misinformation, calls for behavioral interventions such as mandatory vaccination. Well, that's not okay. That's kind of funny. Like, how do you modify this behavior? You make them take the vaccine, right? Okay.
I'm going to hold you down.
Right.
That's how you're going to eat your vitamins.
I don't think they understand what that means.
I don't think so either. Mandatory vaccination.
You failed the assignment.
It means it doesn't matter how you feel about it. You're going to take it, right? You can't be hesitant if it's like we're going to make you do it.
I always feel better about doing something after I'm forced to do it.
Absolutely.
People force me to do it.
Okay. It also says regulation for healthcare professionals. I'm going to huff and puff and blow my house down. That's how I feel about that. Like, okay. Incentives, public health communication campaigns, and engaged trusted leaders. One of the diseases that they're really worried about in this study is the measles. And right on cue, the World Health Organization out of Kazakhstan issued this alarm today, saying that measles is on the rise. And let's see, do I have the numbers here? They're calling for urgent measles vaccination due to an outbreak of 42,000 cases, 65% of which are 5 years old. Now, we saw the measles chart earlier that showed that the mortality rate from the measles has been basically zero since the 1950s, far before the measles vaccine was out. Measles deaths, incidentally, when they happen, are caused by secondary bacterial infections that can be treated with antibiotics. And those antibiotics were developed before the vaccine. So we could credit the antibiotics for the drop in mortality and morbidity of measles, right?
Right.
So why do we need the vaccine? Interesting question. You need to reprogram me so I don't ask it. In fact, 82% of the reduction in measles deaths happened before 1935 when sulfonamides was first put into place to treat them.
I'll reprogram you so you can say that word.
Okay. So this erodes public trust because we don't have answers to these questions, and I haven't been programmed to not ask them. They push, you know, vaccines, and when we question the efficacy, they say, well, let's study how to better stop getting people to ask those questions. Not like, oh, let's address those questions and they'll feel better. It's how do we get her to STFU and stop asking them behavioral modification.
And it'd be one thing if the questions that we were asking didn't have data to back up that we had answers for, right? Like if we were asking questions that there was zero data to back up our questions, okay, you know, like you're absolutely wrong. We can show you factually you are wrong, but they can't do that in most cases with the questions we ask.
No, well, they won't fund studies about the cumulative effects of vaccines. They won't fund them. They do the studies that exist about the cumulative effect of vaccines are so terrible that in one of them, they said that the study was done, I think, in Quebec, and it ended up being in like a small Quebec village and not the city, and they never retracted it. It's so bad. And they purposely don't study it, and they doctor the studies in order to be able to give you a conclusion that they want. But they have never studied which vaccines are safe to be taken together, how many are safe to be given at a time, the age at which vaccination should occur, and whether they are contraindicated effects of taking vaccines in combination. Some vaccines, they do cause herd immunity and some don't. We are owed the truth about which are which, nor are there studies about the long-term effects of vaccine schedules. And the medical community just won't fund these studies. But then you see a bullshit study like this, the BMJ study, and they will fund a study about our attitudes about vaccines. That to me is funny and backwards and tragic and awful. And yeah, I said it, BS.
How many vaccines are in the vaccine schedule right now? I know they added, didn't they add like another two?
They added COVID, and I think they're still trying to add RSV. But that hasn't been added to the schedule.
So it's like, isn't it like 20 or something like that? I mean, the point that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. makes is that when he was growing up, it was like three, or two or three.
Right.
And now we're over 20. And so, and yeah, they'll just flood them all at once. Well, we'll knock six of them out today. Mm-hmm. We'll just, yeah, give me the baby. We'll plug you with eight of them simultaneously.
Right.
Right. And they've never been studied on how those interact and giving them all at once.
They never have. And they're not studied with how they interact with, say, a regular medicine that the baby might be on or anything like that. They just willfully refuse. I'm interested, you know, not in being reprogrammed to not ask those questions. I'm interested in answers to those questions. So let us know what you think of that in the chat below.
Someone in the chat just said that, where was that? Oh, Jan Isherwood says, we had a measles party back in the day.
Yeah.
Like people would do with like chicken pox parties,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I get that. Again, it's the secondary bacterial infection that can be dangerous. It's not the actual measles. Yeah.
Those people must have had money because we only had scurvy parties at our house.
Scurvy parties. Okay. So someone brought an orange over to make you... ate some citrus and everyone got better. Scurvy, the one that citrus eradicates? Yeah.
Yeah.
Vitamin C. It's vitamin C deficiency.
Yeah. Let's see. Minga Music Videos says, redacted, look up the study showing that childhood measles infection reduces the risk of CVD death decades later. Association of Measles and Mumps with Cardiovascular Disease, the Japan Collaborative. Okay. We'll mark that.
I've said it a few times. I did a redacted conversation about the book Turtles All the Way Down. It's fantastic. Join our redacted community if you want to watch that review of the book. But better yet, read it. Just read it yourself. It's an amazing book. Interestingly enough, it is unauthored or unattributed because the author said, if we put our names on this, we'll just become a part of the conversation and be known as the crazies. You should just read this so that you don't have a face to refute. Refute us with the science only. It's fantastic. The only thing they tell us is that they're Israeli doctors. That's all we get. And I cannot recommend it enough. I wish I had had it as a resource when my kids were small for vaccines.
It's interesting that they're Israeli doctors, too. I mean, Israel went crazy. I mean, the amount of COVID shots, it was really like the petri dish for like rolling out vaccines, right?
The COVID vaccine is not really mentioned in this book, even though it maybe was the impetus for it. So,
but didn't we actually, you know, they did jump in on board, but didn't the most of the data where people were, they were pulling back from it start happening from that? Because we were hearing from Israel, oh, they're pulling back. They're now saying this is the data they're actually getting.
Well,
and
we
then
had,
we stopped hearing from Israeli doctors.
Yeah, it's very weird because we've done a couple of segments on that with journalists who lived in Israel, and we were covering the fact that their adverse reporting agency data was far more advanced and more on point than what we were seeing in other countries. So I think because we were seeing those adverse events and we were getting that data from Israel, it was more on point, and we were able to see some of that early on, actually.
Yeah. The chapter on polio vaccine alone reads like a murder mystery. It's crazy. That's all I'm going to tell you. You have to read it. It's crazy.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.